chapter of the book of Luke. 10th chapter of the book of Luke. Brother Jackson called to check on me on the way. And he said, "You're crazy." He said, "If you'd asked me, I'd came over and preached for you." I said, "I know it. I know it." I did get weak this afternoon and called Brother Chandler. And he said he didn't feel up to it. So I said, "Well, I've got good help here. It's not because I don't have good help. I've got plenty of good preachers in this church that come here and do a better job than I'm going to do tonight, imagine." But I did read in a place where there was some folks that the Bible said as they went on their way, they were made whole. So that's kind of what I'm doing tonight. I just felt like if I pressed on and came, that I stood a better chance of getting healed here than I would at home. And hope I don't spread this too much. I'm going to try to stay up here as much as I can. Luke chapter 10. One good thing about a preacher when he's sick, you know he ain't going to hold you all night. Amen. It may not be good, but it won't be long. Amen. Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was and saw him and had compassion on him, went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in the oil and the wine, set him upon his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was a neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?' And he said he showed mercy on him. Then answered Jesus, 'Go and do thou likewise.'" Will you pray with me? Eternal God, we're so thankful for your presence tonight, Lord. God, I confess my inability. Lord, I pray that you would touch me. Help me, Lord, in this house, that I'd be able to reach somebody tonight, Lord. Talk to us from heaven, God. Speak to our hearts and our minds tonight, Lord. Help us, God, leave this house different than we came. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Israel at that time was a very religious place. Very religious. They were filled with religiosity. Everywhere you would turn, there'd be a synagogue, and somebody would be reading the law. And the Bible even talks about how they would have these phylacteries. And that would be every scripture that they would learn. And when I mean by scripture, I mean chapters that they would learn. And they would write that, and then the phylacteries would get so long it would trail them down the street. They were great memorizers of Scripture. They were religious folk. In so much they condemned Jesus and his disciples, even to said, "Your disciples did not wash their hands when they ate." And there's a big discussion about that in the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew and the 7th chapter. And these folks were so religious and technical about their religiosity that how much had to be washed. Some had maybe your wrist on, and others your elbow on, and others wanted to wash the whole arm to make sure they was clean when they ate. And they were filled with all kind of religiosity. But here came Jesus on the scene, who was the giver of the law. Amen. It was all about Him. Amen. He was the Word that was made flesh. And here was the one that on Mount Sinai had rolled and given them the law, and had given them the tabernacle plan. He was the one that had gave the promise unto Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. Confirmed the covenant again unto Moses. But now he is on the scene and they're not really recognizing him. And there was a subculture, excuse me, of people in that day, and they were called publicans. Now, they were not Republicans. They're also a subculture, but that's not them, praise the Lord. And there was a culture of people that are called publicans. That would be the folks that would live on the wrong side of the track. Back when you was growing up, they may have called them the riffraff of the city. And they is probably the folks that your mother warned you about. Don't go around them. And anyhow, the Bible said, Jesus is giving this parable, and it said, there was a certain man that went down from Jerusalem unto Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, and leaving him half dead. Amen. Here was a man that, amen, the only crime that he committed was that he was at the wrong place at the wrong time and ran into the wrong people. Well, I'm going to tell you, sometime life alone came and can give you a lick that you're almost not able to bear. You didn't do anything to deserve it. You didn't do anything to earn it. You didn't ask for it. You wasn't standing in line to get it. You didn't wrong nobody. You didn't mistreat anybody. You didn't cheat anybody. But life sometime, amen, will strip you of all that you have and will wound you and leave you for dead. Glory to God. One relationship out of another and none of it working out. One job out of another. One addiction out of another. One problem out of another. And it seems like, amen, life just leaves you by the wayside, stripped and hurt and wounded and half dead. And you're waiting for somebody to come by and have mercy on you. And the Bible said, even by chance there came a certain priest. If anybody should have had any mercy, it should have been this priest that came by. Amen. But when he saw this person that was hurt and wounded, he was too busy. I'm going to tell you, religionists may be too busy for you. Amen. Your friends may be too busy for you. The doctor may be too busy for you. The counselor may be too busy for you. The banker may not want to see you. And the psychiatrist and the psychologist may have given up on you. Your family may have wrote you off and say there ain't no hope for you in God. But I come to tell you tonight,
shout. Amen. The only the only qualification you gotta have for him to seek you out is you just gotta be lost. And if you're lost, he is a savior. If you're sick, he is a healer. If you're torn, he is a comforter. If you were weak, he is strength. If you're hopeless, he is hope. And if you're helpless, he is help. Hey, hey, and he walked right by your pew tonight. He's not too busy on this cold Wednesday night in the foothills of the Ozark. Amen. Do not pass me by while on others are calling.
Hallelujah. The Samaritans were repulsive people. They were mixed breeds from the Gentiles and Jews that had intermarried. Part of the northern kingdom of old Jeroboam. And Jesus is really going to talk to this young man. And he's putting himself in the place of this outcast and this misfit. Glory to God. He said, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came to where he was. And when he... Yeah, I'm so sorry. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. I don't know where you've been. And I don't know what you've done. And I don't know what kind of condition that you're in tonight. But there's a Savior that is full of compassion. Your family may be ashamed of you. Your neighbors may be ashamed of you. You may be friendless without any friends. But I come to tell you tonight, there's a Savior that will have compassion on you. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've tried.
Said he had compassion on him. And verse 34 said, and went to him. When I could not go to where he was, he came to me.
He didn't stand afar and send a substitute. But he came himself. That's what he's doing in this service tonight. This old sick, coughing preacher. He wants you to know that you count to him. You're not a number to him. You're not a statistic to him. He said in Ezekiel 18 and 20, all souls are mine, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And he had no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He's making his way and coming by to you tonight. He went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil. And wine that would cleanse, wine that would kill the germs, wine that would kill the infection, wine that would cleanse the wound. And he poured in the oil that would heal and mend and make whole. He's in this house tonight. He's got wine and oil. The judge may not can cleanse you. The prosecutor and the defense attorney may not can cleanse you. The judicial system may not can cleanse you. But he's got the oil and he's got the wine. And he'll pour in that wine that will bubble, bring all the infection to the top. And he'll wipe all of that off. And when he gets through, he'll pour in the oil that will mend and that will heal you. He's got oil and wine in this house tonight. He's got a sufficient supply of it. He's not going to run out. Then it said he set him on his beast. And he carried him to the inn. That's where you're at tonight. You're at the little inn by the way. He brought him unto an inn and took care of him. Didn't leave him on the side of the road. Didn't leave him wounded. Just didn't give him just enough to say, well, I've done my part. But he put him on his own beast. And he brought him to the inn. And he took care of him. That's what he wants to do tonight. While they come to the music. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. He not only paid your bill, but he said, looky, if it costs more than I have paid to bring this person to the state that they're well, whatever you spend, when I come again, I will pay thee. That's why the Lord has placed churches in the earth today where folks can pray with you, care about you, be concerned about you, love you. Well, why would you care about me? Why would you be concerned about me? He told me. Whatever I spent, when he comes back, he'll settle the debt. I want you to know, if you're here tonight, while you stand with me and while the saints are praying, and you found yourself wounded and stripped, life has left you half dead. And it really don't seem like anybody's really cared. They've just walked right by and just left you in the condition and in the shape that you was in. The Good Samaritan is in the house tonight. His name is not Brother Epley. His name is Jesus. And like he went to this wounded man in this parable, he'll come to where you're at tonight. Full of compassion. He'll bind your wounds up. He'll pour in the oil and the wine. And he'll bring you to the end to help you. Will you pray with me, saints?
Over and over.
Yes, yes.
He holds me.
Tonight, if you want to pray, he'll help you. I don't care.
what you've tried. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. He'll help you tonight. He'll bind up your wounds.